So last Wednesday, I told David, I said, David, I want to preach, and I know what I want to preach on. And he said, okay. He let me preach. But God put something on my heart, and I'd been, something been mulling around in me for a while. We're going to go to Romans 12. So you guys go with me to Romans 12? Before we do, let's pray, okay?
Yes.
Always important to pray. Father, we just plead the blood of Christ over us right now. We thank you and praise you for your word that you give us, Lord. You said that it doesn't return void. It goes out and it's like a double-edged sword going between bone and marrow. And I thank you that we will be changed from glory to glory today. I thank you and praise you as your word goes out that it would be a seed in us and grow, Father. I thank you and praise you for that, that we would go out changed better than we were before we came in. We thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I went to a private Christian school when I was 14. I became a Christian at that time, 14 years of age. And we went to a private Christian school, and we had to memorize passages. Okay, not just one or two verses. Passages. This is one of those passages I had to memorize. I don't have it memorized now, so don't ask me to recite it. It won't happen, okay? But when I remember when I read this, the first two verses to me didn't match. I didn't understand. It's like it felt like it was like this top part and then all of a sudden this bottom part. And as I was reading this about 1 o'clock in the morning, I was awake at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Wednesday morning. I was looking at it and I understood something. The first two verses help us to do the rest of it. And this whole chapter, when you look at it, is about relationship. It's our relationship with God.
Yes.
And when we have right relationship with God, we can have good relationship with each other. And that's what it's about. So I'm a person, when I look at the Word of God, if I want to dig deep, I'm like, okay, what does this word mean? So I get out my Strong's Concordance. One of my favorite gifts I ever got was when I graduated high school. One of the people in church gave me a Strong's Concordance. I love it because then I can go and say, oh, this is what it's talking about. So we're going to read the first two verses, okay? And then we're going to break some things down in there, okay? We are on Romans 12. You're very welcome. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I'm going to go back here, and I'm going to go where it says, present your bodies. This is where you're going to have to bear with me while I go to my notes, because I don't know what I did with my tablet. And we look at these two verses. It says, present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Well, acceptable means well-pleasing. If you look it up, that's just what it means. And then reasonable, I love this one, is logical. It's your logical thing to do, is to present yourselves holy and acceptable to God. First off, he died for us, right? He planned for us. He saw us from the beginning. He said, I want relationship with you. He gave his son to die for us. So I love that God, who gives us his perfect son, he gives us his perfect love, and all he wants in return is for us to give back to him ourselves.
Right?
Right?
That's fair,
right? I think that's fair. So then we're going to go to the second verse, and I love the second verse. There's so much in this second verse. 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. I like this verse, but on first reading it, I didn't understand it. And then I'm looking at conformed. Do you know what the conformed means? Conformed means to pattern yourself, to live like. See, we all come from different aspects of it. We all come from different families. We all come from different backgrounds. And we've all been taught differently. And we've all patterned our life how we've been taught. Right?
Right.
You know, I cook things differently. My enchilada is different than somebody else does. Because I've been taught that way. There's things that when we react to the way a person says something, it's because of the way we've been taught. It's the way we grew up, you know? So some people grow up in drama and are only comfortable in drama, so they want to stay in it. So they pattern their life after that, right? But that's not what we're supposed to be in, right? So then we're going to go to the next word that I really like, but be transformed. Now, I like this one. This one's more amorphous. It's what the bird of butterfly does. It goes in that cocoon, and then it changes, right? What does he call us? He calls us a new creation, right? We're something brand new. We're something that never walked this earth before, right?
Yes.
So we're not supposed to pattern our life after the old ways. We're supposed to be transformed. But how do we do that? Renewing our mind. And do you know what renewing of your mind means? I love this. I looked it up because I'm like, well, again, me, I want to know what it means. And it means one of the ones is to renovate. Renovate your mind. That's kind of like, how many people have ever heard of renovating a house or renovated a house?
Yes.
You knock out the inside, you might leave one wall. So we might look the same on the outside, but guess what? We're different on the inside now. Our mind is renovated. What is it renovated by? By the Word of God. Get into this Word. Find out what He thinks about you. Find out what He thinks on how you should react. Right?
Right.
Find out what He wants to do for you. Find out how He wants you to act. We used to have two ladies in one of the churches we were at that they didn't like each other, so they'd slap each other when they went by each other, hit each other. Literally would hit each other. Okay? So obviously, they were not allowing the renovation of their mind, right? I love this part because if you have strongholds in your life, if you have things in your life that hold you back, okay, you get in this Word and let God renovate you. One of my bad ones was I was insecure and low self-esteem. So you know what God showed me? God showed me that He loved me, right? So that's my biggest draw to God, is that He loves me. He accepts me the way I am. So when I look in the mirror, I go, "You're beautiful." You know why? Because my God said I was beautiful. Not because I'm proud, not because I know that God thinks that I'm important. It's that inward knower. One of the our pastors was preaching. He said, you know, judge yourself, that your inward knower knows what you're like. And I'm sitting there going, my inward knower tells me I'm wonderful. And this wasn't pride. This was knowing that God says I'm wonderful. Because you know what? When He came and He died for you, He saw that raw product in you. He saw that diamond in you. And He knew what you could be. He knew what you grew up in. He knew what your strongholds were. But if you will get this Word, go find out what He says about different things, okay? What He says about relationships, what He says about sin, what He says about how He wants you to be. I mean, I can be specific off the top of my head, abortion. God says that children are a gift from God, and everyone is a perfect gift from Him. A heritage from the Lord, right? Another one, sex. God says premarital sex is fornication. That's what He says. That's what He calls it. That's what it is. So it will tell you. So if you come from a lifestyle where those things were okay, you become a Christian, you get into this Word, you understand. It changes your thought pattern. Because most of our battle is not outward. Most of our battle is right here. 90% of what you fight is right here. How you think. What you think. God wants to renovate our mind. He wants us to think correctly. He wants us to get in here and see how to think so that we change. And that Word, remember when I prayed, that Word is like a double-edged sword. It goes between bone and marrow, and it changes us. It metamorphoses us. But how do we do that? We have to spend time. Okay? Spending time. When you have a friend, how do you get to know your friend? You spend time with them. Right? When you're dating your spouse, how do you get to know them? You spend time with them. That's the same thing with God. How are you going to know what He likes or He doesn't like if you don't spend time with Him?
Right.
If you don't get in this Word and you spend time worshiping Him and praising Him and saying, "Hey, God," and He'll talk to you if you'll listen. You know, and if you're afraid you're going to hear an outside voice, first He says, "My sheep know my voice."
Right.
Okay? And the other thing is you just plead that blood of Christ over your mind. And know that if you hear something that goes against the Word of God, that's not God. God is never going to tell you to do something that He said against His Word. Okay? He's never going to do that. So you get in this Word and you find out. Find out who He is. He wants to renovate your mind. He wants to change you. He wants to take you out of the old and put you in the new, where you have victory, where you don't have to walk the same way you walked before. You don't have to be the same person. And sometimes people in our past remember that old person, so they want to throw it up in your face. But that's not who God says you are.
That's right.
God has said you're a new creation.
Amen.
And I love this next verse. I say, like I said, these are my favorite too. Is the next he says, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Do you know what prove means?
Test.
It means renovate, means to discern. So that's how you're going to know what the will of God for your life is, if you get to know Him, right? Okay, my husband and I have been married for a while, and he told you about the maple bars. You guys remember the maple bars? I'll bring it up again. You know, I'll tell you about the maple bars. So we dated for 2 years. We got married. We've been married years. We already had our daughter. So over five years, my husband had it in his mind that I like maple bars. I do not like maple bars, just so you know. I do not like them. So he'd go in and get donuts, and he'd come out with a maple bar. I'm like, why'd you get a maple bar? You like maple bars, right? No, I do not like maple bars. Well, I thought you liked maple bars. I said, well, which one's for me? He goes, well, I got the maple bar for you. But he didn't get himself a maple bar. He got me a maple bar. I'm like, wait, what? I don't understand this. But he had it in his head. He had it in his mind. And he lived with this pattern that I like maple bars. Just so you know, I do not like maple bars. Please do not buy me a maple bar.
He likes maple bars.
David wants a maple bar. If you buy him a maple, if you buy me a maple bar, I will pass it on to my husband. Here you go, baby. It's for you. I do not like maple bars. But one day, after spending many years with me in time, guess what? His mind got renovated. It got changed. He understood. Kathy does not like maple bars. And he can discern my will that I do not want maple bars. Do not buy me a maple bar. That's right. No, I want something chocolate covered and chocolate and this, or cream filled.
Oh,
cream filled inside. That's my kind of thing right there. I'm all over it. It's there. I'm eating it. That's mine. But if you know me, I love food, all kinds of food. That's my problem. Not a specific thing, food altogether. I will eat it all. You like how renewing your mind went to food? See, because it's me. I love food. So when we get to know God, when we get to seek Him, when we get to spend time with Him, guess what? Then we can discern what He's telling us to do. Then we can discern what He's doing. And you know, maybe you don't hear His still, fall voice, but follow that peace in your heart. Okay, when we moved to Idaho, God had us move to Idaho, and then we moved back to California after 2 months. And when David told us we're moving, I was like, okay, praise God, we're going. I was excited. We got there, and he goes, we're not supposed to be here. And I'm like, what? This ship don't turn that way. You know, we have to stay here. And he's like, we're not supposed to be here. I'm like, okay. Oh, all right, well, you know, and God did turn me around, and we went back. But he did it on a purpose. It was his will that we went back, but it was so that we could be at another church. And that pastor said if we'd been at the other church and then switched churches, he never would have hired David.
Because
they were down the street from each other. But God, he didn't want it to look like he was stealing people. So God took us all the way to Idaho to take us all the way back so we could be at a different church down the street. But that's God. It's okay because it worked some things out in us and changed our lives. It was a good thing.
A lot of those things like that,
those are tests of obedience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he asked me the day before we were leaving, he said to me, well, I was reading a book by Joyce Meyer, and he said, when you get to Idaho, if I tell you to come back, will you? I just laughed. I'm like, yeah, but you're not going to do that. You know how much we wanted to get out of California. And, you know, because we've moved a couple times, one really big time to get out of California. And
we're
God keeps bringing us back. But a lot of those things are tests of obedience.
Yeah, yeah. Renewing of your mind, following the will of God. Follow that peace. As we went back to that church, and I'll tell you what, the old church, it was like a big scratching on the inside. And it was going, I couldn't run out of there fast enough. And these were people I was with that I loved and I grew up with spiritually, and I was, you know, I served and everything, but it was not where I was supposed to be. So you got to do what God wants you to do. But how again are you going to know when God's telling you to do something? Spend time with Him. Get to know Him. Because you know what? He knows you. One day I was driving down the street and I saw something, and we use words so flippantly, and I go, well, that's the funniest thing I ever saw. And I heard God say, really? That's so sad. If that's the funniest thing you ever saw, that is very sad. I'm like, oh, Lord, you're right. We just say things without even thinking about what we're saying. We just say whatever. And He's like, you know, that's a whole other topic about what you're saying. But if we will do this, if we will allow God to renovate us, to go inside of us. Now, some of us, and I've done it myself, is we have these little areas in our heart we don't want God to touch. So we say, God, you can touch everything else but this room here. But if you do that, are you giving yourself wholly to God? Are you being that acceptable, well-pleasing?
No.
You're not giving yourself to God. You're not allowing Him to renovate you. You're not allowing Him to change you and make you what He wants you to be. And that's exactly. That's the only way you're going to get the fullness of it. That's the only way that you can really completely change, is just to give it all to Him. And when we do that, and I love these next verse, because I've walked in this trap too. Okay, we're going to go to 3. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God dealt to each one a measure. So when we do the top part, this is talking about relationship with God, then we can do the other part. Now we're going into relationship with each other. Okay? Because if we're here having relationship with God, guess what? We can have a good relationship with our brothers and sisters.
Right.
Okay? That's what He's trying to do. He wants us to have relationship with Him and each other. He says, I think it's interesting that He says, first He talks about your relationship with God, then He says, don't think so highly of yourself than you are. So to me, for someone who God dealt with self-righteousness, he got after me. Because see, I was 14 when I got saved. I was a Christian. I became a Christian, went to private Christian school. So guess what I didn't do? I didn't drink. I didn't go to parties. I bypassed everything that my husband went through. I took another route. I didn't have to go through those. I don't have those struggles. I don't understand persons sitting down and drinking all the time, because it has no lure or desire in me. Now, not to say I haven't had a drink, but I'm like, I don't understand what the joy of this is. What are you getting out of it? I don't understand. But that's okay. We're all different. We all have our own little addictions or things that we have to go through. Right? So God dealt with me, and He dealt with me at a singles retreat. And I was going there, but we had been going to church and stuff. And when you have been a Christian long enough, when you have been serving God long enough, sometimes you get that thought in your head that says, well, I didn't do that. Well, I wasn't like that. Or so you see somebody in the church, they stumble and fall, and we're supposed to pick each other up. That's what we're there for. We're not supposed to eat our own young. But sometimes that thought comes in your head and goes, well, I didn't do that. And then what, you know what happens? We trade our righteousness that God has clothed us with for self-righteousness, and which God says is like filthy rags. And that self-righteousness affects how you relate to each other, because you're thinking how much better you are. Okay? So if you're better in your own self-righteousness, it's going to affect how you talk to one another. It's going to affect how you relate to one another. It's going to affect everything in your life, and even God. So God dealt with me, and He said, you know what? You have self-righteousness in your heart. And I go, no, I don't. He said, yes, you do. You think you're better because you didn't have these problems, and this person's struggling with that, and that's not right. So we go to God, we get our mind renovated, our life is doing good, and somebody else is struggling. We're like, well, get a little big in our britches, right? No, God says don't do that. Don't trade the righteousness that He gave you for self-righteousness, which is filthy rags. Because we do that. I did it. So I know that it's an easy trap to fall into, or at least it is. You're just going along and And there's this thought that pops up into your head, and it's like, oh, wait a second, where'd this come from? So I always say examine yourself. I always examine myself. If I have something that goes on, let's say I'm an interaction and something's not right, I ask myself, is it that person or is it me? What's going on inside me? Is it me who's doing this? Am I putting something there that shouldn't be? Am I wrong in my thinking? I don't just automatically say, oh, that person is wrong. That person did something bad. No. You got to look at yourself first. God says, take that log out of your own eye before you take the speck out of your brother's eye.
Right.
And our self-righteousness, we'll be picking that, trying to take that speck out of their eye. But that's not what God's called us to be.
Right.
He gave to each one of us a measure of faith. Okay, now we're going to go into our relationship with one another. For as we have many members in one body, but all of the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it as our ministering. He who teaches, teaching. He who exhorts, exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Right? Each of us is different. God didn't want us to be, we're all, this goes to the body, where we're not all hand, we're not all feet, we're not all a mouth, we're not all a nose, we're not all in the eyes. God needs every part of us. Right?
Yes.
There are some who give him more to hospitality. There are some who are giving to exhorting. People who encourage are very good at encouraging another person. We need all of those things.
Amen.
We need the person who ministers, who does things around the church. We need the person who exhorts one another. God has used me to exhort people. I like to say it called a spiritual stop. Okay? So we had this one couple that were adopting a child. They wanted to adopt a child. And it's New Year's Eve. And she tells me, my son, we're believing God for a baby. And my son prayed that we would have a baby even on New Year's Day. And I just don't know what to tell him. I said, well, you just keep believing. That's what you do. You don't stop believing. She goes, I don't want to break his faith if tomorrow it doesn't happen. I said, you still keep believing. That's what you do. You don't stop. You know, and I said, just encourage your son. Well, guess what happened? They got a call the very next day. And they got their baby on New Year's Eve. Now, what if I told her, well, that's okay. You know, just, it might be a little broken, his faith. No. You encourage that. I said, you know, and if it doesn't happen tomorrow, which we believe God it does, your little boy's believing God for that, then you just continue to believe God. Let him do it. And she called me, she said, she goes, thank you. And then the next day they got their baby. I was that little stop to encourage them. God was saying, hey, you need to believe this. Don't not believe it. So God used me to encourage them to believe it. And then we had a friend whose husband died at a Sizzler. And I happened to work right across the street. And my husband called me and he said, Pastor John just died. They used to be pastors. They retired. But we honored them because they were pastors. So we called them. That's who they were. They're Pastor Mary and Pastor John. You honor them. So I went right across the street and I was right there for Pastor Mary. She told me afterwards, she said, I am so glad you were there for me. See, it wasn't anything great. It was just being there for somebody. It was just, that's what we're supposed to do for each other. We're supposed to be there. We can be able to call each other and say, hey, I'm having problems in this. Will you pray for me? And exactly do that. Pray for them. Be that stop for somebody in their life. Somebody who needs to be, so they don't slide on down, that you're able to pick them up. You're able to help them not to slide down, fall down. Help them to lift their arms as Moses did. Do you remember that? When Moses had his arms, he had two men hold up his arms. So while the battle was raging on. Some of us are going through some battles and struggles. And we need each other. So that we can keep our hands held up and we can keep going. Right? That's what we're here for. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Oh, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference one to another. Not lacking in diligent, fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. I love that. We, you know, that's why they say, Christian people like to eat because they are given to hospitality. We should be given to hospitality, right? But I like this. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. In other words, let's not do the fake thing. God has given us love. And David touched on this. He said, the love of God has been shred apart in our heart. So if somebody doesn't make you happy, guess what? You can still love them. Because God has shed his love abroad in your heart. It's there. You just have to let it out. You can access that and let it out. And how do you do that? You get to know him a little bit more and he'll help you let it out. Right? Well, there's something here I want to touch on too, is that people in the church, we might rub each other the wrong way, or we might not, person might not be our cup of tea. Okay? Because we're all from all different walks of life. And that's okay. We can all, God has called us. See, we're all different. We're all different. Like, if I need an engineering problem, I might not go to David. I might go to his dad. Okay? If I have a chef question, I'm going to go to Dana and ask her a question. If I have a cleaning question, I'm going to go to Rachel. I was like, my brain said, what? Rachel. If I have a hair question, who am I going to go to?
Debbie.
Why? Because I have a pastor question, I'm going to go to pastor. He's all me. What about me?
I was saying, if you have a hair question,
me? No, not you.
Don't go to me.
You're not going to go. See, we need to celebrate our differences. God made us all different. We're meant to be that way. We might look at something different, but that's okay. That's how we're meant to be. God made you perfect. See, I have no problem understanding that. God made you perfect. He loves your laugh. He loves your hair. He loves your smile. He even likes the way if you're wrong, he says he'll correct your way of thinking. He will teach you and change you. Wow, that was so funny. That's the funniest thing I ever saw. He's like, oh, really? That's so sad. That's the funniest thing you ever saw. Oh, my God. Okay, you're right. That's not the funniest thing. He'll correct your way of thinking. He will. And like my self-righteousness, he's told me. He says, no, you're doing this wrong. And I said, Lord, you're right. You know why? Because he loves you and he doesn't want you to walk that way. And so every person sitting in here, and God showed me one day, I walked into church and all of a sudden I felt this honor. You know how when you're honored to meet somebody that you look up to? Mm-hmm. Okay? Like if you met the president or the vice president, the honor that you would feel, whoever they are, because of who they are, or, I don't know, royalty. Their office, the queen. The honor that you'd feel, that's the way I felt when I walked in church. Every person there, I was just like, honored. I couldn't explain it. I'm like, Lord, what is this? Why do I feel this honor? And he said, because every single person here has God put inside them. Every person here that accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior has God living on the side of them. So if you can do nothing else, you can honor that person. You know why? Because the great I am resides in them. And every single person here resides in them. And so when I walk into a church and I see people are saved, I'm like, wow. I can honor that person. I can love that person. Why? God has shed abroad his love in my heart. And honor that fact that that person standing in front of you, guess what? They have God. Now, does that mean that they all act like God acts? No. Sometimes. But you know what? It's not on them. It's on us.
Right.
If somebody does something, God's not going to judge that person. It's going to judge your. He might judge them privately, but it's your response to what they've done. How do you respond? You know, if they sin against you, you're not supposed to sin back. That's when you're going to get judged.
Right.
Something happens, you walk in love in that situation. You walk in love in that situation because you don't know what people walk through. You don't know that person's past. You don't know what they came through and they're still working on or what they're in. You don't know. And I've learned that as I've gotten older. You know, being a Christian from a young age at 14 and not going through a lot of those things that some people have gone through. I've learned as I've gotten older, wow, people really walk through a lot of stuff and you don't know. But God renovates their mind and renovates your mind, and you can walk with love with them because, again, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. And if you're having a hard time with that, pray 1 Corinthians 13. I did. I had a person in my office that drove me nuts. I wanted to slap them. They made me angry. Yes, it's true. They made me angry, and I every single time. But it wasn't just me. She was like walking in eggshells in the office. You didn't know how she was going to be. Was she happy today? Was she not happy today? Was she angry today? Was she not angry today? And the Lord, I said, Lord, I can't be this. I said, you need to help me, because all I want to do is run. And the Lord took me to 1 Corinthians 13, so I prayed every day that I am loving and kind and patient with this person. Do you know what happened? Did they change?
No.
I did. She's still the same. I changed. And then I didn't see her. So God renovated my mind. How did he do that? By praying that out every day over myself. So that when she was mad, it just made me smile. It's true. It didn't hurt me anymore. It just made me smile. Because I was not affected by it. See, when we get ourselves in the Word and we put that in ourselves, when the world comes at us, it doesn't affect us. Then we're not dragged down. We're still standing up with a smile on our face going, oh, that's okay. God's going to take care of this. That's what we do. And this girl, I did share God with her. She knew I was a Christian. She had been a Christian in her youth and served God for a little bit. As she goes, well, and I was sharing, you know, God again and the scriptures. And she goes, you know, that may be good enough for you. But that's not what... Not everybody. And she goes, and some of us see it as a crutch. And I'm like, okay. And the Lord showed me, he says, don't throw your pearls before swine. Not that she was a pig, but she ate, basically, she was treating them just like that. Just like, so it was like, okay, God, I won't do that. But I can treat her with love and respect because God did. He died for them. He died for every single person because he loved them and he wanted them. And you know what? He thought they were of value. Don't ever let anybody tell you that somebody is not of value. And I have struggled with this because how many of you think sometimes some people should not have a child? Some of you say, some people shouldn't even have a license to have a kid, right? But I have to tell you, I know some people who came out of some horrible childhoods. Do I deny them the right to live? And they love God now. They're wonderful people. So I see now where God says, I love everyone. I want them all. And yeah, this person might not be the greatest, but guess what? Out of them comes someone else who is. And he has a purpose for that person. And he loves everybody. Again, you can tell love is my biggest thing because I love that. But this goes back to honoring one another, loving one another, being there for one another. So if we are letting God renovate our mind, it's going to change how we react with one another. It's going to change how we see one another. But it also, if we have strongholds in our lives, it will change how we act with the world. Because I don't know about you, but when you're walking along and you're doing good, sometimes you fall into your old patterns. Why? Because there's something you grew up with. Because you're human, you don't realize it. And then God will stop you and say, wait a second. Because this is a daily thing. This is an everyday thing. This is a work thing you have to do daily. Because if you don't, before you know it, if you're not getting in here and you're not spending time with God, and you start going your own way again, you can be totally changed and run more. And before you know it, you've gone another way. And you've gone back to your old way of thinking. And you've gone back to your old way of acting. Why? Because you're not doing it as a daily thing. You have to do it. You have to allow God to renovate your mind daily, all the time, weekly, monthly, every day. Yeah, that's right. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. And then it goes to... Do not be wise in your own opinion. I love what one of my pastors said about this. He goes, just because you're right doesn't mean you have to be right. That is exactly right. And what that means is even if you think you're right in your own mind, I've been an orthodontic assistant for a long time, 25 plus years, actually almost going on to 30. I've worked for different orthodontists. You know what I've learned? There's more than one way to get from point A to point B. That's what I've learned. So you might cook your roast a different way, and she might cook it a different way, and she thinks her way is the best, and you think your way is the best. Guess what? Just because you're right doesn't mean you have to be right.
That's right.
Okay? Both ways work, and it's okay. But you don't have to force your way, your right, on somebody else. And that's true. So when I post, sometimes I post something on Facebook, if somebody else will disagree with me, that's okay, that's their right. But I'm not going to get in an argument with them. Because there's no point to it. Because just because I'm right, because I believe I'm right, doesn't mean I have to force my right to make their, you know. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. Then we get to treating, now we talked about how we treat each other, now we're getting to other people now. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not avenge yourselves. And I know that there, I mean, I as have been a Christian, I've had myself wronged at work or different places. But it's not up to us. God is your front and rear guard.
Amen.
He's the one who defends you. He will be your defender. When we worked at, David's talked about it. When I worked in Alaska, sometimes I'd cry coming home. It was the hardest thing for me to do. There was a whole bunch of issues there, different things that went on. Some of them I'm going, Lord, is this just me? Am I the one that's, is there something in me that needs to be made right? I said, Lord, you're my defender. I need you to defend me in front of these people. I need you to show them what I can be and what you want me to be there. And he did it. Before I left, they were sad that I was leaving. They wanted me to stay there. But that's God defending you. He's your defender. He's your fighter. He will avenge you.
Right.
Don't fall into an old pattern of, well, my old way, I would have done this, and I'm going to go do it right now. Don't do that. It's easy. It's easy to do that, because you're like, oh, you want to slap that person. No. Don't slap that person. Don't do it. Give them a cup of water. That's right. But it says there, you know, to be kind to them, heaping coals of fire on their head. I read a story one time, and I loved it. And it was this pastor. He was a pastor for a while. God called him out, and he had to go in the workforce. And he worked with a woman that was just nasty and mean, and nobody liked her at all. And he was the one person that was kind to her. He always did everything, you know, kind to her. And even when she was mean, he'd say something, why'd you give me that? Or why'd you do that? I mean, she was just outright mean. But he did it, and he did it, and he did it. And before he left, one day she broke down and she says, you're the only one that's ever been kind to me. And it had an effect on her. You don't know. And if somebody's being mean, I like when another person of mine, she goes, I am not going to allow any one of you ruin my love walk. So if you're mean to me, I'm still going to love you. And she had a person spit in her face that didn't like her for whatever reason. You know what? She says, I am not going to allow you to ruin my love walk. I'm going to love you even if you spit in my face. Because faith worketh by love. And when we start to allow that bitterness to come in, it's a poison in our body. It is poison in our bodies. But again, God has given us. He's renovating. If we're going to Him, He's renovating our mind. And He shed His blood. And He shed His love abroad in our heart. And we let it out. Guess what? We can love anybody. And when that person, like, I prayed that, like I said, 1 Corinthians 13. And that person was mean and I just smiled. It didn't bother me anymore. It didn't hurt me because it used to hurt. When they say things to you with a sharp voice, it hurts. Sometimes it puts you back to maybe an incident you had, because sometimes things happen that drive you back to how you felt, you know? That's where you get into those old patterns again, emotional memories. But it didn't hurt anymore. Because that's what God wants to do. He wants to elevate you. He wants to renovate you. He wants to renovate you from the inside. So you might look the same, but you're not. You're whole new inside, brand new. Right? That's what He's done for us.
Like the church.
Yeah, like the church. It's Brad looks old. Yeah, I walk in and it looks different. But that's what God's done for us, and that's what He wants for you. Allow God to renovate your mind, renew you, change you, so that you can be someone different, so you can react differently when something comes at you that you weren't expecting or didn't see. So when the car breaks down, you don't, woe's me, what are we going to do with the money? I'm like, you know what? God's going to take care of it. And when the warranty company wasn't sure that they were going to pay for it, I'm like, Lord, thank you for your favor. Thank you that you're going to make this happen. And the guy said, well, I was shocked that the warranty company said they're going to pay for it. Well, I'm not shocked because I have a good God. I told him, I said, well, I was praying. I was praying that God would do that. Now, what allows me to do that? Because I'm renovating my mind. Well, I'm not doing it. God's doing it. I'm allowing him to say he has his favor for you. He loves you. He will work it out for you. He's your defender. Right? He always comes through. He does, because he loves you. So I like this chapter because it shows us relationship with God and relationship with others. And that's what it is. And I remember when I first read it, the first two verses, I didn't understand. But now that I've broken it down and I see it and I look at it and I go, oh, it's our relationship with God that allows us to have relationship with others and right relationship.
Right.
Okay, David Pickett.
I just want to point out one real thing really quick, and then we'll pray and we'll get everybody together for food. In verse 10 of chapter 12, in the Holman Christian Standard Bible, it says, show family affection to one another with brotherly love. This part here, outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing honor. That's it. I mean, if you're one of those people who's always in it to win it, I mean, you set out to play a game, and your defense is you're going to win. This is a challenge. Outdo one another in showing honor. Honor actually means as though you paid for it. Something you paid for. Something that's valuable to you. Outdo one another in showing honor. You think about what God did for us. Did he outdo us in showing honor for mankind? Come on. I mean, he sent his only begotten son to die for us and to be punished for us. Come on, right? The greatest gift you could ever get. God showed that much honor for us. He says, outdo each other in showing honor. This should not be, well, did you see what Pastor did? You know, because I've been around. I see people, you know, even still today, there's some people, you know, that just, you know, they get unhappy and they call someone else over to talk about how unhappy they are with about, you know, something that happened. I'd be like, come on, that's just sowing seeds of bitterness. God said show honor. You don't like the way somebody does something? Listen, I defend every single one of you to every one of you. I do. I had one person say, well, I don't like the way this person did that. And I said, you know what? That's the way that's where they're at, and that's how they're doing it. And being upset about it isn't going to change it. You don't like something? You take it to the Lord in prayer. I know for a fact God will change your heart, and everybody else might still see that person the same, but you just now love them. Come on. Come on.